Hello, good morning. This is Rick Pina, and I am bringing you today's word for August 14th, 2026. I'm super excited today because I really get excited on Mondays when I set the tone for the whole week with the Word of God. I also get super excited on Fridays because we get to close out the week strong, head into the weekend strong. So I'm looking forward to this weekend. I hope you are as well. So as I get ready to release the Word of God, I want to remind you that I have a book out called Praying from a Position of Grace. And this book has already ministered to lots of people. You could just go to rickpina.co, rickpina.co, and you'll see the book, or go to Amazon, just search for Rick Pina. But this book has ministered to a lot of people about how to pray. And it lines up perfectly with what I'm teaching this morning. You pray the promise, you don't pray the problem. I have two other books, several other books, but two books called 150 Affirmations for Men, 150 Affirmations for Women, Biblical Affirmations. And once again, it's about praying the promise and not praying the problem. We're all going to face challenges. Live long enough, you're going to face challenges. You're going to face things that you don't want to face. You're going to have to deal with situations that you would rather not deal with. But you got to remind yourself that you have the grace for it. And then when you pray, you're not praying the problem. You're not reporting the problem to God. God already knows. What God wants is for you to pray the promises, for you to remind yourself of what he said and to put him in remembrance of his word. So the title of today's message is Discovering Destiny, Part 31. Pray the promise, not the problem. If you're going to pray, pray the promise. We're going to talk about the promises of God. All the promises of God are in him. Yes. And he's looking for the amen from us. How do I provide him that amen? In prayer. I'm praying the promise. I'm not going to pray the problem. You ready? This is going to be good. All right, I was looking at the comments here while the B-roll was playing, and several people are saying that the book is amazing, that the book is life-changing, that the book is life-altering. The book is really teaching people how to pray from a position of grace. Because what you want to do is you want to understand that in Christ is already done. I'm not reporting stuff to God that he doesn't know, right? I'm not catching him off guard. Maybe the situation caught me off guard, but it didn't catch him off guard. And so when I pray, I'm praying from an understanding that God already knew, God already stored up some stuff, and I'm discerning what God's will is. And then when I discover that, then I pray the will of God right back to God. And so that's how we're supposed to pray. Let me give you the foundational scriptures for this year. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever." Luke 10:20 says, "It's time for you to rediscover who you are from heaven's perspective." 1 John 3:10 says, "There is a very visible and vast difference between living your life from God's identity and living your life from a fallen man's mindset." Proverbs 25:2 says, "It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but..." You know what kings do? They go search it out. They seek the Lord. How do I seek the Lord? Jeremiah 29:13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Those are the scriptures for the year. Let me give you the scriptures for today. Genesis 32:9 from the Amplified says, "Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and the God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your people, and I will do you good. You said, Father," I'm just reminding you, I'm about to go into a circumstance or a situation. I just got some negative news. But let me just say, first of all, you're the God of my grandfather, Abraham. You're the God of my father, Isaac. And you're my God too. And you're the God who spoke to me. You're the God who said to me this and that, right? You got to remind yourself sometimes of what God said and put God in remembrance of his word. Genesis 32:12, the Bible says, "And you said," right? This is what you said, "God, I will surely do good and make your descendants like the sands of the sea, which cannot be numbered. for the great multitude. God, I'm about to go into this situation. My brother may be still mad at me. He's coming at me with 400 men. I don't want to die. And so let me just let you say, I'm reminding you, God, you said that my children were going to be like the sands of the sea. And you said that my children was going to be like the stars in the sky. Come on, God. That's what you said. I'm just reminding you of what you said. Genesis 32, verses 1 and 2. As Jacob started on his way, angels of God came to meet him. And when Jacob saw them, he exclaimed, oh, this is God's camp. He had a camp with him. He had servants. He had children. He had donkeys. He had gold. He had silver. He had cattle. He had all, he had a huge camp. And then the angel showed up. And then he said, oh, this is God's camp. So now I got God's camp and I got my camp. And he named that place Mahanaim. Mahanaim means two camps. Okay, cool. Genesis 32, verse 6. I'm explaining all this in a minute. The messengers came back to Jacob and said, we went to see your brother Esau, because he sent out an advance party. We went to go see your brother Esau, and he's coming. He's coming to meet you. And I got to be honest with you, sir. He has 400 men with him. That's like a battalion of soldiers. So he's coming at me, and he has a whole battalion. And the last time I saw him 20 years ago, he wanted to kill me. Genesis 32, verse 7, the Bible says Jacob was terrified at this news. And so he divided his own camp. So not God's camp, but his camp. And he divided his own camp into two groups. He wanted flocks, herds, camels, two groups. Because he was thinking, well, if one of the groups die, at least the other group is going to survive. He was not in faith at all. Genesis 32 and verse 10, in his prayer, though, he says this, Lord, I'm not worthy of the least of the mercy and the loving kindness and all of the faithfulness which you have shown upon me. I'm just your servant. For with only my staff, I came over this Jordan. And now I'm coming back with two camps. I just divided my camp into two camps. But I just want to remind you, God, that when I left with nothing but a stick and the blessing. And now I'm coming back and I got two whole camps. And it wasn't because I'm good. It was because you're good. That's how we pray. Isaiah 42 and verse 36 from the Amplified. The Lord says, put me in remembrance. Remind me of your merits. Let us plead and argue together. Set forth your case that you may be justified and prove right. Numbers 23 and 19, the Bible says in the New Living. I like to quote it from the King James, but I'm going to read it to you in the New Living. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He's not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and then failed to act? Has he ever given you a promise and then not brought it to pass? Psalms 34 and 4 from the New Living says, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. Hebrews 4 and 16 from the Amplified says, let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace. Oh my God. So I'm coming fearlessly. I'm coming confidently. I'm coming boldly, not because I'm good, but because God is good. I'm coming in the name of Jesus that I may obtain unmerited favor at the throne of grace. I will receive mercy and the grace to help in the time of need. Last verse, 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. Says all the promises of God. Let me read it to you from the New Living. All the promises of God have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. So from God, there's a yes on every promise. And the text says, and through Christ, our amen, which means yes. So God already put a yes on it. God is looking for us to put an amen on it. Ascends to God for his glory. So every promise from God already has a yes from God on it. But the promises from God are waiting for an amen from us. And when our amen ascends to God, God is glorified. So let me tell you the story. God told them to leave. Jacob obeyed. He gathered his wives, his children, his flocks, 20 years of increase. We already learned what happened when Laban tracked them down and Rachel lied and Rachel said, I'm on my cycle and she's sitting on the saddle. Anyway, all this crazy stuff. All of that is over. He's going home. The Lord told him, one day I'm going to bring you back to this land. And when I bring you back, you're going to be blessed. And so he's walking back to that land and he's looking around. He's like, wow, He has a whole caravan. Like, when he left, he had nothing but a stick. His mom is gone. His dad is gone. Mom and dad are dead already. But my brother's alive. I haven't seen my brother in 20 years. The last time I saw my brother, he wanted to kill me. So on this road, before he got any bad news, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord showed up and manifested themselves to Jacob. And Jacob saw the angels and God's camp and said, wow, so Lord, before I even show up to my brother, you showed up to remind me that you're with me. And he called that place Mahanaim, which means two camps. So he says, this is now Mahanaim. And he has his camp with his wives and his servants and his flocks and everything he could count with his eyes as far as he could see. And then he had God's camp with angels and heaven's army standing on the road with him. This is like Bethel all over again, just bigger, right? At Bethel, he saw a ladder open from heaven and angels coming up and down. But now he's like, no, this is a whole nother thing. I left with nothing but a stick. I'm coming back with my whole household. And I have God's camp. I have the army of the Lord with me. This was God saying to Jacob, you are not alone. Then Jacob said, okay, before I get there, let me send an advance party to go see if my brother is around. And so the advance party comes back and says, yeah, your brother's around. As a matter of fact, your brother knows you're coming. As a matter of fact, your brother's coming to meet you. As a matter of fact, your brother has 400 men. He said, what? He said, yeah, your brother's coming with like a whole battalion. So he's like, oh my God. The Bible says that Jacob was terrified at this news. Now, come on, man. God already showed up with the angel. The angel, whole camp, like Mahanaim. There's like two camps. He's already saying, I have my camp and God's camp. God is already saying, I'm with you. And he still was afraid. He was terrified. That's what the Bible says. He was terrified. So what did he do when he was terrified? He divided up his camp into two camps so that if his brother killed one, that the other camp would survive. So that's not faith. That was fear. He operated from a place of fear. After saying Mahanaim, after, you know, like all of that, he still operated from a place of fear. He was human. And there's a lot that we can learn from Jacob. But what I love about it that is that after he divided up the two camps, he said, okay, let me do this. Let me pray. He said, okay, hold on. I haven't even prayed about this. Like, you know how sometimes you're like, wait a minute, I haven't even prayed about this. He said, let me pray. And then when he prayed, watch this. He didn't open up his prayer with, oh God, let me tell you what's happening. Like God doesn't already know. He didn't open up his prayer with Esau. He didn't open up his prayer with 400 men. He didn't open up his prayer with, I'm afraid. He didn't, no. He opened up his prayer with, first of all, God, you're the God of Abraham. Oh, my grandfather, come on now. Hey, God. You're the God of Isaac, my father. Hey, God, you're the same God that met me at Bethel. Hey, God, you're the same God that told me that I'm going to have as many children as the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky. The same blessing that you spoke over my grandfather Abraham, you've spoken over me. Hey, God, you're the same God that told me that you're going to bring me back to this place and I'm going to be blessed. Hey, God, you're the same God. So what did he started reminding God of what God had said. So what does this mean for you today on this Friday morning? Come on, I got four things to share with you. I believe they're going to be a blessing. You ready? Number one, here we go. God sent help before the bad news ever came. If you look at the order of events, before the bad news came, the angel of the Lord showed up. Before the crisis came, the angel of the Lord showed up. While he was walking back, the angel of the Lord showed up. So God sent, before he sent his advance party, God sent an advance party. Before he heard about his brother's 400 men, God was already there. He already had said, Mahanaim. He already, so before he even prayed, God showed up. So what do we learn from this? God did not send the angels after the bad news arrived. God sent the angels before the bad news arrived. See, God reminds us oftentimes that he's with us. before the pressure is on, before the bad circumstance comes, before the letter from the doctor or the lawyer or the bank or whatever comes, like God reminds us on a regular basis that he is with us. And we have to acknowledge that. Jacob even acknowledged it. He said, Mahanaim. He said, I got two camps. I got my camp and I got God's camp. And God reassures us of his presence. Why? Because his presence brings with it his peace. His presence brings with it his power. When we know that God is with us, we have peace and we have power. So you don't have to beg God to show up. Like when people say, hey, Brother Rick, can you pray for me? Yeah, I'm about to go on this plane and I want God to be with me. I say, excuse me? Are you born again? Oh, yeah. You're born again. Yes. You know, Ephesians 1 and 13 says that when we're born again, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Yes. You know God is in you. Yes. So why are you asking God to be with you on a plane? That doesn't make sense. Like, I mean, at least think about what you're saying, right? If you're saying that God is on you, in you, with you, and for you, how can you say, Lord, please, when I get on this plane, I need you to please be with me? What are you talking about? Like, no, I'm taking God on the plane. Like, everybody else on this plane is blessed because I'm here. I don't know if they're born again or not, but I am. Destiny is on board. Notice, newsflash, destiny is on board. The grace life is on board. And because I'm on board, everybody on this plane is blessed because I'm here and God is here. And because I'm here, God is here. Because I'm here, God, listen, you're taking God with you everywhere you go. You need to believe in the presence of the Lord. You need to believe that you're never outnumbered. You need to believe that if God is for me, he's more than the whole wide world against me. God was showing up before he found out about the 400 men to give him a reassurance. We have to remember that God is with us and God is more than the whole wide world against us. Do you remember Elisha and Elisha's servant? Elisha's servant walked outside in Dothan. And he saw a Syrian army surrounding the city and he panicked. And Elisha looked at the same army and he never flinched. Why? Because he could see the angel of the Lord, but his servant couldn't see it. And so his servant couldn't see it. And so instead of panicking, he just prayed and said, Father, Lord, open this boy's eyes so he could see. And when the Lord opened his eyes, he saw angels and he saw horses and he saw chariots of fire. And he saw, it was like, oh, snap. So I don't need to be afraid. Why? Because God is here and God is with me. Sometimes, like, you got to remind yourself that God is already there. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me when people ask me to pray for God to be with them as they get on a cruise, for God to be with them. Like, what are you talking about? Either you're born again or you're not. You have to believe that the presence is already there. And if the presence is already there, then the peace is already there. The power is already there. The angel of the Lord was on the road before the trouble ever showed up. See, God is reminding you that he is already there. You got news this morning? Well, Rick, you don't understand. I got this news. The news may have been a surprise to you, but it was not a surprise to God. God already knew. That means that God already prepared you for it. So you have to rest in that. Say amen to that. You got it? All right. Number two, you're taking God with you everywhere you go. You got to remember that. All right. Number two, being in the will of God, here's another one, does not mean the road is always going to be easy. Like, who told you that once you get born again, that everything is supposed to be easy? Oh, I believe that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. I believe that God's favor goes before me like a shield. I believe that, you know, okay, good. I believe that God does wants to prosper us. I got it. But that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. You know what the Bible says? All that live godly shall suffer persecution. You know what the Bible says? Jesus said, in this world, you shall have trouble. You shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer because I've already overcome the world. So at the end of the day, you're going to face challenges. Like Jacob faced challenges and he was right in the center of God's will. He was doing what God told him to do, go back home. So he was going back home and still an army showed up. 400 men showed up. And so God said, hey, return to the land of your father and I'm going to be with you. God never said, return to the land of your father and everything is going to be easy. God never said, return to the land of your father and you're never going to face opposition. Let me bring it to 2026. God never said, start that business and it's going to be easy. God never said, join this company and I'm going to give you this position and it's going to be easy. God never said, go to this school and I'm going to make sure you get into the school and it's going to be easy. God never promised for it to be easy. God just promised to be with you every step of the way. You have to remember that God is with you, that God is on you and in you and with you and for you. God promised his presence. God never promised an easy road. God never said it would be easy. God just promised to be with you. So I like to say God never promised you a perpetual picnic, but God did promise to be with you every step of the way. So you can be in the perfect will of God and in the fight of your life at the same time. Let me say that again. You can be in the perfect will of God and in the fight of your life at the same time. Jacob was terrified and God didn't scold him for it. He didn't deny the fear. He just refused to let the fear stop him from praying. And once he started praying, everything changed. Let me just talk about some people. Jesus was in the perfect will of God when he said, we're going to the other side. He went to sleep, the Bible says, in the hinder part of the ship with his head on a pillow. He was in the center of God's will and the boat still took on water to the point where the disciples thought they were going to die. Paul was right in the center of God's will one time. He was on a ship when the ship broke up. It hit some rocks, it broke up, and the Bible says he spent all night and all next day holding onto a piece of wood in the middle of the ocean, and he was in the center of God's will. Something bad still happened. Joseph was in the center of God's will when he still showed up. He wound up in a pit, then he wound up as a slave in Potiphar's house, then he wound up as a prisoner, and all of that happened before he got to the palace. Psalms 34 and verse 4 says, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. Notice that I prayed, he answered, he delivered. And so I'm praying, and as I'm praying, God is delivering me from my fears because I'm learning how to pray the promise and enter into God's rest. So let me say this, look at me. If you're facing opposition, that doesn't not mean that you miss God. Sometimes that means that you're in the center of God's will. When you read Genesis 32 and 7, it doesn't say that Jacob divided his camp because God gave him the wisdom of the strategy. No, he divided his camp because he was terrified. He was afraid. And so fear, if you allow fear to influence you, fear will cause you to do things that are outside of the will of God. But thankfully, after he did all of that, he started praying. He started believing God. If the enemy can convince you that you miss God, that you're outside of God's will, and if the enemy can get you to shut your mouth and not pray, then the enemy can keep you defeated. Jacob knew that he was doing what God told him to do. And so you got to remind yourself of that from time to time. When you know that you're doing what God told you to do and opposition is coming, you have to just say to yourself, okay, wait a minute. I have the grace for it. Father, I thank you that I am in this job because you told me to. I'm running this business because you told me to. I'm at the school because you told me to. I'm with this person because you told me to. And because you told me to and I'm doing it, I have the grace for it. Opposition has come. It's not as easy as I wanted it to be. But you know what? I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to cave in. I'm not going to quit. Your grace is on me. This is part of my destiny. I'm going to push through it. Say amen to that. All right, number three, he opened his prayer with what God said. He didn't pray in panic. He didn't pray in fear. He said, oh God, the God of my grandfather Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, the God who told me to return to my people, the God who said that I'm going to do good, the God who said that I'm going to have children as the sand of the sea and children as the stars of the sky. Lord, I'm reminding you of what you said. See, fear had him dividing up his camps. But once he started praying, once he started praying the promise instead of the problem, you notice what he didn't say in the prayer. He didn't say, hey, God, my brother is coming. Hey, God, he has 400 people. Hey, like, stop reporting the news to God like God doesn't know the news. Like, stop informing God about your problems in your prayers. God doesn't need to know about the problem. He already knows. He already knows. So what you want to do in prayer is you want to stand in agreement. This is why my book, Praying from a Position of Grace, is so important. What you want to do is you want to stand in agreement with what is already provided. You're not praying from a position of lack. You're praying from a position of grace. You believe that it's already done. The word says, put me in remembrance of my word. And so you're coming to God and you're putting God in remembrance. Lord, I thank you that you have done this and you have done that. You told me to do this and you told me to do that. I remember, Father, that you told me this and this and that. And because of that, my heart is at peace. I know you are on me, in me, with me, and for me. I know you will never leave me nor forsake me nor turn your back on me. I know that I am in your hand and no man can pluck me out. So, Father, I'm just going to remind you of what you said. Father, you also said in your word that you're not a man that you should lie. You're not the son of man that you should repent. If you said it, you will perform it. If you declared it, you're making good. I'm not praying the problem. I'm praying the promise. I'm not going to spend time in my prayer telling God, well, this is going on. That's going on. This is going on. God already knows what's going on. No, I am putting God in remembrance of his word. I'm reminding myself of the promises of God. I'm praying back to God what he's prayed over me. Come on, say amen to that. Number four, so I can let you go. He never told God that he deserved it. I love that. He never told God, this is what I deserve. He never said, God, like, this is, let me give you my resume. Lord, over the past 20 years, I've done this for you. I've done that for you. I've done this for you. I've done that for you. And so, like, that's what religious people do. Oh, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like such and such. I'm not like these people. Lord, I come to you. No. You know what he said in Genesis 32 and 10? I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of the least of the mercy or the loving kindness or the faithfulness which you have shown to me, and I'm your servant. Lord, let me tell you something. I just want to tell you, Father, I'm not worthy. Lord, I thank you for what you've done for these last 20 years. I thank you. I came over here with a stick, and now I'm coming back with two camps. Lord, this was not because I'm good, but because you're good. Lord, I thank you that after all of that time that I worked for that man and he kept changing my wages, you gave me a strategy and you transferred the wealth over to us. Lord, I thank you that you have done this and done that. And it's not because I'm good. And it's not because I'm worthy. Lord, let's be honest. I'm not worthy. Lord, I'm not that good. But Lord, you've been better to me than I've been to me. Lord, you are faithful towards me. Lord, you are dedicated towards me. And it's not because of my performance, because I'm not that good. And I've made more mistakes, Father, than I want to remember. I've done more dumb things than I want to acknowledge. But I came over here with nothing but a stick, and I'm coming back with two camps. So, Father, I just want to thank you that you have been better to me than I've been to you. Lord, I thank you that you're a good God. Lord, I thank you that you gave me great and precious promises. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you're not through with me yet. Lord, I thank you that you want to do great things in my life. Lord, you know I'm facing this stuff. You know what I'm facing, but I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to cave in. I'm not going to quit. Your word says that I can come to you fearlessly and confidently and boldly. So I come to you, Father, in the name of your son. I come to you, Father, with all confidence in you. I come to you, Father, not because I'm good, but because you're good. I come to you, Father, not because I'm worthy, but because you're worthy. And every promise that you've ever spoken over my life already has a yes on it, and I'm going to give you my amen. I'm going to set my faith in agreement with you, Father. I'm going to give you the amen. I say amen over what you said over me. Every promise that you've declared over me, I am destined. Lord, if you said in your word in 1 John 5, this is the confidence that we have in you, that when we pray anything in accordance with your will, two things happen. You hear us, and we already have it. In this way, Father, I'm praying back to you the prayers that you've already prayed over me. So I'm bringing you, I'm putting you in remembrance. I'm coming back to you. I'm saying, Lord, you said this. You said this about my son. And so, Father, I have a wayward son. You know that right now he needs to come back home. But I know what you said about him. And because you said it, it shall come to pass. I have a challenge right now. Let's say in this situation or that situation, you're dealing with something in your marriage. Pray what God said. Lord, I thank you that you said this about my marriage. You said this about my business. You said this about my career. The doctor's saying something. You said this about my body. You said this about my health. You said this about my future. In this way, you are connecting your prayers to your destiny. This series is about discovering destiny. I'm praying from a position of grace. I'm not praying from a position of need. I'm not pleading and begging, oh God, please. No. I'm not praying like it's not already done. I'm praying like it's already done. I'm praying like God has already spoken. I'm praying like the promises of God already true. They already have a yes on it. I'm just giving God my amen. I'm coming in agreement with God in prayer. Say amen to that. Let's close this message out with a declaration of faith. Say this. Say, Father, I thank you that you have already spoken over my life. So when I pray, I'm not praying the problem. I'm praying your promises. You said it, and that settles it for me. You're not a man. You cannot lie. Everything that you've said, you will perform. If you declared it, you make it good. It doesn't matter who comes up against me. 1,000 can fall on my side. 10,000 at my right hand, it shall not come nigh me. Only with my eyes shall I see the reward of the wicked. If you are for me, you're more than the whole wide world against me. And so you're good to me, not because I'm good, but because you're good. I'm not worthy. I'm not that good, but you are worthy and you've declared me good. You declared me righteous. So Lord, I receive what you say. I'm the righteousness of God by faith, and I believe and I receive everything you've declared over my life. I'm entering into this day with thanksgiving. I'm entering into your courts with praise, and greater is coming for me. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. This is today's word, something you might need to listen to again. You really need to get the book, Praying from a Position of Grace. Buy 10 of them. Give them to all your friends. This book will change the way you pray. I'm telling you, you got to pray like it's already done. You know why? Because it's already done. I need you to do 3 things real quick. Leave me some comments in the chat if this message was a blessing. Number 2, share it on your social media, on your timeline, and with your friends. Number 3, listen to this outro video. The outro video is going to tell you about my books. Go to rickpina.co. It's going to tell you about our ministry, ripministries.org. Make a donation. It's going to tell you about the gracelife.store. All right. I love you. God loves you more. Have an amazing weekend. I'll see you on Monday. God bless you. Thank you for watching the Grace Life Podcast. There's a few things that I want to make you aware of. First of all, if you would like to support our ministry and especially support what we're doing in the Dominican Republic, well, we have over 235 children in a school getting a Christ-based education free of charge. We're paying for everything. Our ministry does that out of the love of God and all of our partners that are supporting it. You can go to ripministries.org and make a donation, and all your donations are tax deductible in the United States. Also, I have some books that are available to you in audio form and also in paperback or hardcover. So go to amazon.com and just search for Rick Pina, or you can go to rickpina.co. And when you go there, you'll be able to see the links. You can get a book that I wrote called Level Up Your Life, where you can level up your life in 5 areas of your life. There's a devotional guide that will lead you to experience grace-based success. And if you want assistance with declaring the word of God over your family and your finances and your health and your career, you should get 150 affirmations for men or 150 affirmations for women. And we have lots of other books and journals and other content that can be a blessing to you. People ask me all the time, hey, Rick, how do I get a t-shirt or a hoodie or a coffee mug or some of those things that I see you wear? Well, you can go to thegracelife.store. We've partnered with a brand new store. The quality of the materials are a lot better. Please go to thegracelife.store and you can get all of our products there. Not only that, but at the top of thegracelife.store, there's a link to books. And when you click on books, it'll take you right to all of our products on Amazon as well. Finally, listen, people have been coming to Isabella and I for mentorship for many, many years. And the Lord led me a few years ago to take some of the content that we've been mentoring others with. And instead of just saying it over the phone or on a video call, we've been recording this content and publishing it. We have well over 1,000 videos at this point, and a lot of the videos have a PDF handout that goes along with them. So we publish all of this content on our Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/Rick Pina. There's different ways to join. At the lowest level, you have access to all the content. At another level, if you want to have one-on-one sessions with Isabel and I, you can do that too. So if you would like to be mentored by us, please go to patreon.com/Rick Pina. Thank you for being a blessing to us, and we pray that we will continue to be a blessing to you.